Wickedness is real. Oppression is real. But more real is our victory. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has commissioned Bishop David Oyedepo to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppressions of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo.
And that light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. When you are in possession of light, then your liberty from every oppression of darkness is established. Therefore, desire the infusion of heavenly light today, because that light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And he said, that is the true light that lights every man that comes into this world. Come and say the true light. Not everything that appears like light is light. There's a world of difference between intellectual enlightenment and divine illumination. The entrance of his word gives light, and it opens up the spiritual understanding of people so they can lay hold on what belongs to them. A man was born in Tamara and caught some light from pages 28 and 29 of this book, according to his letter which came in a few days ago. And as that light came into him, his tongue was loosed, because that light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And he said, that is the true light that lights every man that comes into this world. I looked at what he saw. You are as invisible, as indestructible as God. No devil can defeat you as you stand in your proper position in God. The nature of God is now yours personally. You have been declared more than a conqueror. God took you out of the powers and kingdom of the devil and translated you into the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love. This is a mystery, but it is the truth and it is real. I'm sure he got to that point and he said, no, God is not a stammerer. And if I possess the nature of God, I will not be a stammerer. Now, look at yourself in a moment. Whatever cannot be defined as part of God's nature must not survive in your body today. Whatever doesn't look like God in you must go back to the sender today. Would you be open and sincere enough before the Lord? Lift up your hands and begin to send those things away by yourself. Whatever is not found in God must not survive in me today. Whatever cannot be located in God must not be found in me. In Jesus' precious name. This is to you a day of restoration. That light came and his tongue was loosed. Whether you were born in that condition or not, whether it came by way of an affliction in the course of time, today is your day of restoration. There are two covenant provisions for your victory in the conflict of life: the word of God and testimonies. What is it? The word of God and testimonies. If you don't know how to tap into the power in the two, you may be stranded and defeated in the battles of life. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19 and 20. And when they shall say to you, let's start from 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and what? And for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? And verse 20, shall we read 20 together? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So there are two avenues, or you have two main access to the true light: the law, the word of God, and the testimonies. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So every testimony is a prophecy. Thus saith the Lord, I know you are in this need, and I did this to let you know I am committed to do your own. Every testimony is a prophecy. And when you embrace it, you become a beneficiary of its fulfillment. Testimony is a living force. It has power to reproduce itself. And all you do to make that happen is to believe those testimonies. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. And when that light comes on, darkness gives up. So I see darkness giving up on you permanently. To the law and to the testimonies. That's why most of our books have testimonies all through them. So that you can have two opportunities of assessing those things. Principles can be powerful, but they cannot compare with proofs. It is proofs that authenticate principles. I'd like you to look forward, particularly as we get into this liberation season. Come and say, liberation season. He said, the hour has come to liberate the world from all oppressions of the devil. How many? All. So as you walk through this week, this liberation season, there is no mark of the devil that will remain on anything that has to do with you. He said, the hour has come to liberate the world from all oppressions of the devil through the preaching of the word of faith. And I'm sending you to undertake this task. Now 22 years have passed. His word has not failed once. This week is your week of personal proofs. Whatever makes men doubt whether you belong to this commission or not, this week it will be settled in your case. Do everything you can to be at this liberation service. It is going to be a commotion of manifestations. Thursday is going to be a day you will live to remember. So take time off from your workplaces or from your businesses and be part of that liberation celebration. God is going to prove himself again that he's still on the throne. Can I hear your amen? Can I hear your amen? That's what God is up to doing. He sent his word and it healed them, and the word delivered them out of all their destructions. This is your season, where everything that has stood your way will give way to you by force. I said, everything that ever stood your way will give way to you this time by force. Whatever can't stand God must give way to you this time. I'd like you to look forward to this week as a week of weeks and a week you have been waiting for. He said God inhabited the praise of his people. Jehovah will be walking through the camp, and anything that any man desires to happen will begin to happen. Help me tell your neighbor, welcome to this liberation season. The end has come to every frustration, every oppression, every affliction, in the name of Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? We started sharing on that last Thursday from Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20 to 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? I'll be sharing some things with you this morning that will settle you permanently in the realm of divine health. There is a physician, but unfortunately many don't know him. He is the specialist of all specialists. He has never recorded an impossible case. He has never referred a case. He has all it takes to deliver results in dealing with every issue that has to do with his people. Show me what other physician in the world there is who has never referred a case, who has never recorded an impossible case, who has never lost out in handling any case. That's what qualifies him to be called the great physician. Show me a physician, a specialist, wherever he is, who is capable of handling every case. But this one came on the scene, and the Bible said, he healed them all. And everyone that touched him was made perfectly whole. That's what qualifies him to be called a great physician. If he has never referred a case, then he won't refer your case. If he has never lost out in handling any case, then he won't lose out in handling your case. If he has never referred a case, then he will not refer your case. Can you imagine a specialist in the teaching hospital referring you to a dispenser in your village? He's only asking you to go and die near home so as to reduce transport costs. There is no one under heaven that will qualify for the referral of Christ. So when you see your contact with him as your last bus stop for your desired total health, you have committed him to act. He is not an option. He is the cure you are looking for. I'd like you to understand this. I think our faith for divine healing has been ruptured and in most cases destroyed because of our modern alternatives. If you shall say to this mountain, and be thou removed and cast to the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that the things you ask shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. I don't care what anybody else has to offer. No one can offer what he has to offer you. So I'm bringing you into a face-to-face encounter with the great physician today. Meet with the great physician of all ages. His prescriptions are eternally valid. Come and say eternally valid. His prescriptions are eternally valid. His balm is ever effectual. Those who know him and understand his prescriptions, they live above all satanic assaults. And that's why from today, you'll never be a victim of any satanic assault anymore in your life. Let's meet him in chapter 9, verse 12. Matthew 9, 12. But when Jesus heard that, he started from verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the disciples saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, what? They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And verse 13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I will have mercy. He introduced himself as the physician. I am sitting in the midst of publicans and sinners because I am a physician sent to them. I'm sent to recover their dignity, recover their health, recover their destiny. He is your great physician. He is Jehovah Rapha. He's a healer of mankind. His record is profound, and his evidences today cannot be disputed. Many here are living witnesses of his healing virtue. Am I talking? Many have been recovered from the grave sitting down here today. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says he himself took our infirmities and bore our diseases. So when you have an established relationship with him and you consult with him concerning your well-being, your total health is guaranteed forever. Can I hear your amen? Can I hear your amen? Can I hear your amen? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Say with me, there is a balm in Gilead. What is this balm in Gilead? What is the balm that guarantees our total recovery? In Psalm 107 and verse 20, he sent his word, and what happened? He healed them. And the word delivered them out of all their destructions. I'll read from verse 14, Psalm 107, verse 14 to 20. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Can I hear your amen? Amen. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquity, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they drew near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And what did he do? He saved them out of their distresses. How did he do that? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. They cried unto him, and he answered them by sending his word to them. He answered them by sending his, he sent his word and healed them, and that word delivered them out of all their destructions. So the word of life is a balm in Gilead. The word of God is a balm in Gilead. Is the ever effectual balm able to deal with any health situation at all times? In Luke chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says Jesus was teaching and the power of God was present to heal them. The word of God came forth and the healing virtue began to flow. Luke 5, 17. The balm in Gilead is the living word of God. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. He was teaching, and the power of God was going forth. So what is the balm in Gilead? The living word of God. The balm in Gilead is the living word of God. It is the virtue carrier that brings about the healing of men from all afflictions. That's the word of God. He sent his word. A young man came all the way from Cameroon and was tested positive for HIV, and his body was turning green. His body was growing fungus, as it were. And that was it. And God's word came alive on the communion. And the healing virtue flew. And the thing began to hang on his body. He couldn't stick to the body anymore. And the green thing disappeared. Went back for test. HIV negative. Has God changed? And the power of God was present to heal them as he was teaching. He wasn't praying for them, he was teaching. The power of God was present to heal them. That's the balm in Gilead. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out what? The spirits with what? His word, and healed all that were sick. Matthew 8:16. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. He cast out the evil spirits with what? His word. And healed all that were sick. That is the balm in Gilead. That is a fountain for our desired healing. That is the fountain of the healing virtue. That's where it comes from. When you hook on to that word, the healing virtue flows and you are made whole. What do you do to your physician? And it's interesting to know that the word of God is God himself. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And that word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory. So if Jesus is the great physician, and Jesus is the word of God, that means the word is his prescription for your healing and my healing. These are the words of the great physician. And just like the word of your doctor is a law to you. So when you take his prescription as law, then you become free from all oppressions. The question is, many, many people have died. Although we live in a country that has no, in most cases, we don't have any reliable data. But most people have died just walking to a chemist and buying any drug they think will help them. And you ask the patent medicine seller, how do I use it? Because he wants to come back again. 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, 2 in the evening, 2 in the night, 2 in the... He can't tell you take one today and take one tomorrow. When will you come back? It's not enough to have the drugs. It's important to find out from the physician which one applies to my case and what is the recommended dosage for it. Many, many are in the grave today for treating themselves in their own ignorance, buying drugs that they think they need and using it the way they think they should use it. And now they are forgotten. Mary said something, and that applies to this in such a very important way. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. They said they had no wine. Maybe your health is failing. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. I'll be bringing out some fundamental prescriptions that will help you in securing your healing at all times. The great physician ministers to our healing needs through his words, or call it his prescriptions. And when you take that up, it becomes easy for you to go places with them. Amen. What are these fundamental prescriptions? Number one, you cannot be healed until you believe. Matthew 9:27-29. Two blind men came to Jesus, and the physician asked them a great question. Matthew 9:27. Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And verse 28 said, and when he was coming to the house, the blind men came unto him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said what? They said unto him what? Yea, Lord. Fundamental. They have come and they are crying. And he said, hold it. Do you believe that I'm able to do what you are saying? And they said, yes, Lord. And then the Bible said, then touched ye their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it done unto you. And what happened in verse 30? And their eyes were opened. And Jesus certainly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. Believe ye that I am able to do this? That is fundamental to your tapping into his healing ministry. Do you believe that I am able to do this? It doesn't matter the level of the affliction. Can't you imagine Jesus saying to Mary, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? They said the man is dead 4 days. And Jesus said, it is not over until it's over. It's not over. Your case is not closed until you call it so. I mean, can you imagine that? Do you believe that I am able to do this? I'd like you to know that God is a jealous God. Faith is not faith except it is total. Faith is not faith except it is absolute. Faith is not faith except it is total. As long as you have an alternative for what you desire, you have disconnected yourself from the flow of his healing virtue. Faith is only faith when it is total. I'm a jealous God. You shall have no other God beside me. Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they say, yea, Lord. Then touch ye their eye. And because they believed, the virtue went forth and their eyes were opened. Do you believe that I am able to do this? So the faith question must be answered first. It's not intercession now. It's not supplication. The fundamental question that must be answered in your quest for divine help is a faith question. Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they say, yea, Lord. And then touch ye their eyes. And their eyes were opened. Unfortunately, faith or no faith, people are now in prayers for 7 days, 8 days, 40 days, just using the drug anyhow. And at the end of the day, he died in the midst of prayer. Do you believe that I, the Son of Man, I am able to do this? And they say, yeah, Lord. You cannot be made whole without faith. He said, thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith. So faith is the vital connection to the healing virtue. That is your vital link with the healing virtue. Without faith, you are not connected. Fundamental. In Luke chapter 8, and we read in verse 50. Luke 8:50. There was this man that came to Jesus because his daughter was sick nigh unto death. And while Jesus was still ministering to the woman with the issue of blood, they came from his house and said to him, stop troubling the master. Your daughter is dead. And verse 50. Are you there in verse 50? Let's read together verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered them, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Fear not. Fear not. Now, faith is your vital connection to the healing virtue, but you have a precaution. Fear not. What is it? Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. So if you must be healed, the word of God says, fear not. Don't fear the comments of men, the verdicts of medical science. Fear not. For God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. So fear is a spirit. And that spirit brings its victim into bondage. Fear destroys your defenses and makes you vulnerable to satanic assault. It's very important to know that fear is a spirit. Just like faith opens the way to God, so fear opens the way to the devil. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In Job chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, Job said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. Nothing gives place to the devil like fear. Job 3, 24 and 25. And fear is inflicted by words. So most saints have lost their defenses to the words of their doctors. They hear it and they are gone. In Job chapter 3 and verse 24 and 25. For my sign cometh before I eat. My runnings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come upon me. Verse 26. I was not in safety, neither had I rest. And what happens? Neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Job 3:24-26. The things which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. Yet trouble came. I bind every spirit of fear tormenting anyone in this service in the name of Jesus Christ. That was what opened the door to the devil to torment the man called Job. He was afflicted from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. The Bible said, then went Satan and smote Job. How did he get that right? He got that access through fear. Fear brings his victim into bondage, makes them vulnerable to satanic assault. Did you hear a testimony here today? Bleeding for 2 months, but will not give up. And now the baby is here. What's the reason for the bleeding? To inflict with fear, so you can become subjective to satanic maneuverings. Every spirit of fear tormenting your life in any form is cursed today in the name of Jesus. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. It says here, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because what? Fear has torment. Say with me, fear has torment. Another way of saying that is fear opens up a man to torment. The tormentor has access when you become afflicted with fear. When you give in to fear, the tormentor has a legal hold on your life. Many, many years ago, Satan said to me, now that you have gone setting others free, come and show me how you will have children. And I said to him, Satan, you'll be surprised I won't pray about it. You'll be surprised I will not pray about it. I want you to be free from the spirit of fear. And you know what sets a man free? Those who do know their God. What happens? They shall be strong and they shall do exploits. You can't be praying against fear. Just fortify your knowledge of God. Reinforce your knowledge of God. And fear will go. Those who do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 4 and 5. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Proverbs 24 and verse 5. So, you don't pray away fear. You just pray more insight into the knowledge of God, and fear will give way. I'd like you to take note of this. Now, Satan can come to anybody because he came to Jesus. Jesus said, the prince of this world came to me and has no part with me. If he could dare Jesus, who he knew to be the Son of God, I know whom thou art. Thou art the Son of the living God. If he could go to Jesus, then he could come to anybody. Most of the sicknesses that Christians are carrying today, they have their root in fear. It is fear that gave way to the devil, that opened the door to the devil to torment them. The doctor said one thing and they just threw in the towel. He has forgotten what God said. My doctor said. Did you hear what my doctor said? Because he doesn't know enough of what his God said. So what his doctor said has preeminence over his mind. My doctor said. I've shared this testimony with you quite a number of times. A doctor tested me many years ago and he said, oh, your blood pressure is high. I said, not mine. He said, look at it. I said, it's not necessary. He said, do you speak English? And I said, you see, the two of us are touching this equipment. It may be your blood that entered that thing. Amen. I've never known or asked in my life what is the drug for treating high blood pressure. Whatever can make the blood of Christ high can make my own high. account. Why were his words of no consequence? Because I knew better than what he was talking about. I knew better. Those who do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. My wife is here today. When we got married, I traveled on a mission to Jos and came back, and my wife said to me that she had miscarriage. And I, not that I heard it from somewhere else before, and I was balancing what to say. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. This thing is not abundant in your heart. That's why your mouth is not saying it. There is no way to encourage a drunkard not to behave drunk. Can you? Somebody is already drunk. Now say, please don't behave drunk. Oh, you see, people are coming. You know, you can't encourage a drunkard not to behave drunk. Can I hear your amen? Now, if you know what I'm talking about, the word of God is comparable to wine. To what? To wine. Someday I will help you see that again on how it is done. When you are filled, he said, be ye not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. And the word has spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you take those grains and then you put them in the water of the spirit, there's a fermentation that takes place. You understand what I'm saying? And when it's properly fermented, it becomes an intoxicant. Did you understand what I'm talking about? So when you take it in, you start behaving. Don't call it misbehave. You start behaving the kingdom of heaven. You start what? Behaving the kingdom of heaven. I said, look, he said, she had miscarriage. I said, it cannot happen. Can I have my food, please? Come and say, drunk. When you are drunk with the truth, there is no threat of the devil that has a hold on you. You are drunk with the truth. Drunk. I don't mean this peripheral, charismatic thing they're quoting about. I mean taking in the raw word of God. I mean assessing the truth by yourself. I mean having a covenant connectivity with the truth. Being able to reach out to the depth of God. You're not afraid. That's what it is. People have not found the cure to fear, so they keep looking for what is not there. Show me a man that has an adequate depth of the knowledge of the truth concerning any subject. He becomes as immovable as Mount Zion. Say anything to him, he can't hear. He's already too drunk with what you are saying is irrelevant to him. He knows what he's doing. Now, there was practical miscarriage, but there was supernatural sustenance. And that is the true light that lights every man that comes to this world. Jesus said, fear not, only believe. That means for the virtue to flow unhindered, fear not. When you give in to fear, you disconnect the flow. You disconnect, you damn the flow. It can't go through. Fear not, only believe. A young man came to me. The doctor said she was HIV positive. And he came. And was almost going to slap me. He said, look, I cannot have HIV. I cannot. He was shouting on me. It was too much for that disease. He couldn't take it. He was reacting most violently. He was a drunkard of another order. He was reacting. So I laid hands on him, breathed into him. He didn't go anywhere. He was heading safe back to the hospital. They did another test same day. HIV negative. Can I hear your shout of amen? This is very important. This is very crucial. Fear not. Only believe. Hebrews chapter 2. Somebody excited here today? Can I hear you say the battle is over? Verse 14. For as much then, Hebrews 2:14, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is what? The devil. And deliver them who through what? Fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the fear of death makes you subject unto bondage. The fear of death. They were all their lifetime subject to bondage through the fear of death. If fear is a spirit, and he said, in my name you shall cast out demons. I cast out every spirit of fear from every life in this great service and watching on the internet. I cast that activity of the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. That is it. The third fundamental description or prescription is this. John chapter 3 verse 14. It is written here, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. How many understand the story? You remember when the serpents were biting them in the wilderness? God commanded Moses to make a brazen serpent and lift it up in the midst of the congregation. And if anyone was bitten by a fiery serpent, and he looked to that brazen serpent, he was made whole. That is in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 5 to 9. We have terrible serpents biting all over, but there's a prescription here that guarantees the flow of the healing virtue. Numbers 21, and we read from verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought up us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathed this light bread. And what happens? And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Now let's jump to verse 8 for time. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it up upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Are you there? Now listen. This serpent was put on a pole. That means up. Come and say up. And I've shared this with you. The Lord said to me, you have two eyes. Can you make one to look up and one to look down? Come on, try it now. Try it. Someone is even trying to use one hand to cover another. Try. Now, for you to neutralize the effect of the serpent's bite, you have only one place to look at. Up. It's on a pole. So you don't have a 180 degree advantage to look and see too many things at the same time. It's on a pole. Your eyes are either up. And you know what it means to have 3 million people to be able to see one thing at a time? It will be truly very high. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, he said that is enough to neutralize the effect of the bite. You will neutralize the venom without effort. Just to look up. To look where? Up. They looked unto him and they were lightened, and their faces were no more ashamed. If you take your eyes off what everybody is saying and focus it on what he has said, the virtue will flow down and every shame will disappear. Can I hear your amen? I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord that makes the heavens and the earth. Fundamental requirement. Do you believe? Fear not. Look up. There's nowhere else to look. I don't care who that expert is. This my own expert brought out Lazarus after 4 days. This my own expert has never been known to refer a case, has never recorded an impossible case. And he said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm he that was dead, and behold, I'm alive, and I live forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Say with me, looking up is enough. to neutralize the venoms of the serpent in my body. Looking up is enough. 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 Finally, fundamental requirement number 4, and we are closing at that point. Isaiah 54. Is somebody catching anything here this morning? Is something happening to someone here this morning? So ask yourself the question, is he able to do this thing that appears impossible for everybody else? Do I believe that he can do it? Do I believe that? Then why must I be afraid of what they have said? I will look up because I know my change is coming. Everyone appointed to death here, this is your hour of deliverance. As long as you hold on to what he has said, what they have said shall not stand. As long as you hold on to what he has said, what they are saying will not stand in your life. Every terminal disease represented in this service today, every such plague is terminated under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? This is your day of recovery. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14 beginning. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Can I hear your amen? Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come nigh thee. Did you hear that? Thou shalt be far from oppression, because thou shalt not fear. He said, for thou shalt not fear. So until you give in to fear, you cannot be oppressed. Oppression has ended in your life today. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I've created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I've created the waster to destroy. Verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You see, not I will condemn, but you shall condemn. Everything that rises against your heritage in me, you shall condemn. He said, you, thou, underline, thou shalt condemn. You see, that's very important. Thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Thou shalt condemn. That is a fundamental requirement for your deliverance. You don't watch the devil mock you. You curse him. What do? You curse him. Now, this is very simple. Let me trace it for you. God said in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, whosoever blesses you, I will bless. And whosoever curses you, I will curse. So whatever appears a curse on your life, what do? You curse it. God is also a cursing God. And yet, is a thrice holy God. Curses of those who are due for it. Every devil is due for your curse. Cursing everyone due for it is not a sin. It's not. Thou shalt condemn. He said, everything that is rising against your heritage in me, stand to condemn it, curse it, rout it, bring it down. Now, in Mark chapter 11, verse 12 to 14, Jesus saw a fig tree, and he went there with his disciples. For adventure, they will find some fruits on the fig tree, and they found none. And Jesus said, no one eateth fruit of thee forever. Forever. Then, from verse 20 to 23 of the same Mark 11, they were going up that morning, the following day, and they passed through the same way. And Peter calling to remembrance, this was the tree that Jesus cursed yesterday. He said, hey, master, the fig tree which thou cursest is dried up from its roots. The grain of yesterday has become bran today. Life has been routed from the fig tree. And Jesus answered, have faith in God. That is a dimension of the faith of God in action. Cursing what must not live so it can die. He cursed it yesterday, he dried up today. Whatever tree that your heavenly Father has not planted, that's what the Bible says in Matthew 15 and verse 13. He said, every plant that your heavenly Father has not planted must be rooted up. So anything growing in your life which is not planted there by God is due for your cause today. And this is what Jesus said. I'd like us to read it as we round up. Mark 11. Jesus said, now look at verse 21. And Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, master, behold, the fig tree which thou causest is withered away. And Jesus answered, said unto him, have faith in God. Or another translation said, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall cause this mountain, and say to it, be thou removed, and be cast away into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, we are talking about the fig tree without causes. That means if anyone shall cause this mountain and say, be removed from my body and be cast into the sea of forgetfulness where you can never be recovered again, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those causes that he has released shall come to pass, he shall have those causes established. Did you understand what I'm saying? Because the subject here is a curse. The fig tree without curses is withered away. And they said, have the faith of God, or have faith in God. If you believe and you say to this mountain, be thou removed, you curse that mountain. I don't know what that mountain is in your life. It is due for your curse this morning. Now listen. He said, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. They are wondering, is he actually a Christian? Are you sure he's a Christian? If he were a Christian, why must he continue to live under this condition? That means that situation is due for a cause. Can I hear your amen? Whether physically, mentally, whatever. Emotionally, whatever is discrediting your Christianity is due for a cause today. Whatever is devaluing your heritage in God is due for a cause today. That means the mountain will remain until you curse it. Come and say, I'm ready to curse it. I'm ready to curse it. Now, he says, everything that rests up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. It's not me. I won't condemn it for you. I just empower you to condemn it. It is your duty to condemn what must not survive. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Now let me say this in this moment. Whatever you curse today, remain cursed forever. As you come for the liberation service, the things you are cursing today, by Thursday, there are already answers in your hand. It's a fundamental requirement for you to enjoy your true liberty in Christ. So every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Now, God is a cursing God. Jesus is a cursing Savior. Then why not? You must be a cursing son and a cursing daughter. It's time to curse every activity of the devil that is mocking your destiny in Christ. And whatever you curse today, remain cursed forever. Whatever you curse today, remain cursed forever. We close from 2 Kings chapter 2. I've given you four fundamental prescriptions, and I guarantee you a life of true liberty. For 22 years, I've not been out of any service on earth ground. For 22 years, I've not laid my back on any hospital bed. For 22 years, I've been bouncing about like football. I testify before the Lord today that the next 22 years of your life, you'll be a living wonder to yourself. It's celebration time. Now, chapter 2 of 2 Kings and verses 23 and 24. Elisha just came under some unction, and some fellows came and began to mock him. Verse 23. And he went up from thence, 2 Kings 2, 23, unto Bethel. And as he was going up, by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him. Underline the word mocked him. And mocked him. Whatever is mocking you is due for a curse today. And said unto him, go up, thou bowhead. Go up, thou bowhead. And he turned back. Come and say, I'm turning back now. And looked on them. And cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there went forth two she-bears out of the wood. And tear 42 children of them. 42 children gave up the ghost by the curse of a man of God. He cursed them in the name of the Lord. So it's time to curse that off and on disease that is buffeting you, that makes the word of healing look like it's not real, because you have not embraced a particular prescription of the great physician. Four fundamental prescriptions. Do you believe that he can do it? Therefore, don't fear what they say. Look up, no matter what's happening on the ground, because those who look up to the sun don't see the shadows. The cheapest way to live a fear-free life is to keep your eyes up. To keep your eyes up. Those who look up to the sun, they don't see the shadows. And number four, whatever is mocking you is due for your curse. Every tree that your heavenly Father has not planted, it is your duty to uproot it. Matthew 15 verse 13, it's your duty to uproot it. You can't live under this mockery forever. Enough is enough. Elisha turned back and cursed his mockers in the name of the Lord. And heaven responded instantly. How many believe that heaven will respond in his direction right now? Now listen, whatever you curse here today, in faith, remain cursed forever in your life. So balance up properly. Whatever you don't want, don't watch. Whatever you don't want, you don't watch. Whatever you don't want, you don't watch. Any area of your life where you notice the hand of the devil, begin to curse it now. Begin to curse it in the name of Jesus. Every area of your life
where you notice the hand of the devil, begin to curse it now in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' precious name. 22 years ago, I saw humanity in agony. I saw them wailing and agonizing. I saw them deformed. I saw them buffeted. I saw them in rags. It lasted 18 hours. And I heard them groaning and crying, and I joined them crying. I said, Lord, why, Lord? And I heard the voice of the Lord said to me, delivering this mandate, he said, but from the beginning, it was not so. Whatever was not planted there from the beginning that is growing in your life, I curse it today in the name of Jesus. Whatever tree my heavenly Father has not planted that is growing in your life, in your children, in your wife, wherever, I curse it today in the name of Jesus. Whatever tree my heavenly Father has not planted that is growing in your body, in your mind, and in your spirit, I curse it today in the name of Jesus. Whatever tree my heavenly Father has not planted that is growing in your career, in your business, in your trade, I curse it today in the name of Jesus. And whatever you have cursed with your mouth today shall never grow up again in your life. Now listen, for 4 weeks, Novahei shared a testimony about her daughter called Nona. Nona had some naughty warts on her skin, just growing like that, on the leg and on the hands. And he heard Kenneth Hagin say, curse them. And the Lord spoke to him, curse these things. So he began cursing them first week. And his daughter was a high school student. He said, Dad, I hope you are not going off. The things you are cursing are still there. He kept cursing them. First week passed. Second week, he walked through the house. I curse you naughty words in the name of Jesus Christ. You are cursed. You are not there. And then one day, because the girl is very outspoken, he told him, said, he's still there with the things, cut all of them. But one day, the fourth week, come and say the fourth week, he said, you shall reap it in due season if you faint not. The fourth week, as he was trying to take a dress in the wardrobe, she looked at the hand. Shh. Looked at the leg. Shh. Ran and called the father, and the two began to cry and sob like the flesh of a little baby. 4 weeks. If you have caused it today, even if it appears to see it, it's no longer there. After Jesus caused that tree, it was still looking greenish. Peter, James, and John are saying, can't you see it's not caused? Thomas said, you are just wasting your mouth. Look at the tree. It's even greener than before. But the following morning, come and say the following morning. The following morning. The following morning. Between now and Sunday, whatever you have caused with your mouth, you see it in your hand. Now listen. If there is still anything you need to curse, I give you 2 more minutes. Name it. I share that testimony so you can name it. There is something mocking your destiny in one aspect of your life. Name it and curse it in the name of Jesus. Name it and curse it in Jesus' name. Everyone, wherever you are, I'd like you to know we are in a prophetic season. There is something that is liberating in my spirit. I know you are in a season you will live to remember forever. So whatever you have caused today, it becomes a testimony in your hand by Sunday.
whatever that thing is, by this coming Sunday, it has become an established testimony in your hand. Whatever you left behind at home as a concern, you are meeting it back as a testimony. This Liberation Week is going to be a week to be much remembered in your life. So shall it be. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name.
Bishop David Oyedepo has just placed in your hands the key to all-round victory, exploits, success, and unquestionable dominion over all life's challenges. The end has come to all your struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Oyedepo, PMB 21688 Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Or call 774-7546, 774-7547, 774-7548. Or send your testimony through email bishop@winnerscananland.org. And best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at Faith Tabernacle, Canaan Land, Kilometer 10, Idiroko Road, Otta, on Thursdays 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Sundays 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m.